Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our discussion of the seven churches. We're on the Church of Sardis. We've been here for the past couple of weeks, but, well, really, past week and a half, because we started it at the end of Thyatira. We didn't go into it. But we're in Revelation chapter 3, and we're looking at this church in Sardis. Now, remember, at the beginning in Revelation chapter 1, that John was to write the things which are, at that time that he saw, things that he saw, the things which it said which is and which is to come. So what he saw was in chapter 1, so this whole book of Revelation is divided into three segments. It's three divisions, okay? The first part is the things which he saw, which was in Revelation chapter 1, was a picture of Christ in his glorified state, who would become showing the judgment or how he would judge and rule, the climax of the world, what we're leading up to, which is him ultimately ruling and reigning the earth 1,000 years and then up to the perfect age, okay, where heaven comes down on earth. So this is the climax of the book of Revelation. He's talking about the things which John saw, which was first the glorified Christ in chapter 1. That's the first division. The second was the things which are, and we're talking about in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the seven churches. They are what exists right now. That's the state we're in now. And then from chapters 4 on through 22, chapter 22, I think it is, the things which will be. That's future events, okay? So right now we're in the second division of this three-part three-part thing of the book of Revelation, and we're talking about the church in Sardis. There are seven churches, and this is the fifth church, the church in Sardis. And so we said, just to recap, that Sardis had a name. If you look at verse 1, he said they had a name that they lived, but they were dead. So this is a spiritually dead church. And we were talking before about how Christ told us, or Paul said in Ephesians 5, he told the church, awake thou that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Light. So the church had fallen asleep. So this church, the Reformed or the Reformation church, we said was the time of Martin Luther, when he put the 95 theses on the door of the Catholic Church and said, he said, the just shall live how? By faith, right? Mm-hmm. So this, out of the church of Thyatira, which was the Catholic church, then, see, this is the prophetic age that we're in now. We're dealing with Sardis. This was the Reformation church. Now, notice the Reformation started out with a bang, but over time they became dead. They had a label. So when it says here, Sister Chairman, have you read verse 1 for me?
Okay. In verse 3?
Chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirit of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead.
Okay, so notice they had a name. So this church is the dead church. They had a name. That means a label. They had a label that they lived. They had a form of godliness, but they were dead spiritually. They were not allowing God the Holy Spirit to run and rule this church. How many churches out there are spiritually dead? They exist in name and title and denominations, but the Spirit of God is not there. Notice the title that Christ gives to himself. He says, these things saith he who has the seven spirits of God, talking about the Holy Spirit, and the seven stars. These are the pastors of these seven churches. So he know his work, their works, that they have a name. So remember, this is Sardis was a city that appeared to be impregnable, or like there was no way that it could be, it was incapable of being taken over by assault. So this Sardis, then it had a Sardis stone, and it was on the high priest's, his apparel. It was one of the stones on his breastplate. And Sardis in in form. It didn't really have, it looked valuable, but it became a common stone. So it didn't hold it that its value. It looked valuable. So this is what he means. This is why he uses the name Sardis, because it appeared to be something, but it was really dead. It wasn't what it appeared to be. That makes sense? So this church in Sardis, they were spiritually dead. This church, it received the, it says here that, let me read the notes here on here. Y'all get bear with me 1 second. So it says, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to empower, teach, guide, and equip believers for Christian living. This was tragically missing in the church of Sardis. So the Holy Spirit wasn't totally absent from the church, since he's already always present wherever the real church is, but the dead church label was a sure giveaway of its need for the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why Christ used the title that he who holds the seven spirits. Now notice, let's go to the next. We read last week in Ephesians 5, he told the church, awake thou that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will do what? Give you life. So this awake, it means they're dead to spiritual things. The Holy Spirit cannot impart his wisdom if I'm dead and I'm not listening to the Spirit. People's opinions and what they think of me has more sway than what the Spirit of God says to me. See this?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying what's around me and what's got my attention in the world has more sway than what the Holy Spirit has to say to me. So they were dead. They could not arise up. Remember the man that had palsy, he couldn't walk in the scriptures, and Christ came, and the first thing he came by faith, and he asked the Lord to heal him, and the Lord said, rise up, take your bed.
Mm-hmm.
See, he had to do something.
Amen.
He had to arise. The Spirit of God came to quicken, but if he didn't work with the Spirit, this is why I keep saying, we got to let our will be bound to God's will. We got to be willing to let God increase in us as we decrease. And when we become desperate enough, guess what? When we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, we'll arise.
Mm-hmm.
We'll awaken. It means to be shaken from a sleep, a spiritual sleep. Okay? So what has caused us to go to sleep? It's when I operate according to the flesh, according to my own mindset. So I'm dead to the Spirit and I'm asleep on the things of God.
Amen.
See that? So this church needed, Christ comes in and he's going to warn, he's going to tell them, he's going to have them he's going to rebuke them and tell them what they need to do. Okay? So he says, let's go to verse 2.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Now notice here, he gives a rebuke and he's telling them that you need to be watchful. This church and this day and age that we're in, we have to look and see what our real condition is with ourselves and in the world. Too many Christians are afraid to see, to look and peep and see what the true condition of their hearts are. See, we're afraid to look and see because why? It's going to demand that that God change it, that we present it to God and allow him to change. And then Christ wants to reveal truth to us. And sometimes we don't want our little bubble in our world to be distracted. I'm getting some feedback. So we need to let God, the Holy Spirit, have his way, okay? We need to let the Spirit of God. So I've got to go back to where we was talking about here in the scriptures. Let me see. So it says here that, let me get here. He said, be watchful and know your true condition. Know what's really going on. How many of us are afraid to look and see and to admit the wrong and error in our heart? Today's church is teaching people to be puffed up, to to not really acknowledge the wrong and the error, but we're making people prideful in their
right.
error. You see what I'm saying? We're making people do things and we just ignore it like it's okay, that's such and such. We just keep going on. Okay, we always did things this way, so we don't, even if God's word says contrary, we're going to continue on. We put our traditions above what the word of God said. Remember he told them, "You by your commandments, you have broken God's commandment. Made the word of God to no effect." Remember he told the Pharisees that? They were not willing to see or hear what their real and true condition was. So in order to wake up from a dead sleep or being spiritually dead, we have to be willing to see God as he really is and see ourselves as we really are. Now notice the cry is to be watchful, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I think we'll go there. And then he says, "And strengthen the things which remain." Any questions before we go any further?
Miss Eating, but it's just like people don't want the word. It's like they just want to do what they want to do. They don't want to do God's will.
Right.
I was talking to somebody and this man, and he wasn't saying anything spiritual. Mm-hmm. He was upset with the church about what they were doing in the church. And I asked him, I said, "Well, if you're doing it spiritually, is you letting the Lord lead you and guide you and do what you're supposed to be doing?" And he just started talking. He didn't answer me. He just kept on talking. Just like, you know, it's all about the people in the church. It's not about what God wants. So he was upset with the people, you know.
Right.
But, and I told him, I said, "Well, it's not about the people." I said, "It's what God wants, isn't it? It's not about people." It's like his mind was, "I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking about what the people doing."
Right. And so, go ahead, sister. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Now you're not, because you deflected to people, you're not looking at your true condition.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is, I'm looking at the people, and God may be using the people to reveal where
Ooh.
I am spiritually. You see
yeah.
what I'm saying? And we all have been there where we can get so caught up in a circumstance and a situation, and we can blame people. But God, oftentimes, he's using those very people or circumstances to get to where what's in our heart. So if he felt that way about what was going on, it could have been God using that to stir mm-hmm. him to find truth. Go to
Ooh.
A place where you can find the truth.
Yes.
You see, so if we look at our true condition and we look at what's going on, and if you really after truth, you will leave the mess
right.
to
yes.
seek after. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, so that's a very good point, because sometimes God is using, this is why we have to watch. You have to be watched spiritually to see what it is that God is doing, what he's saying. Sometimes you have to go back and look closer, because we think the very thing is about our current circumstance or whatever, but it could be just like Moses saw that bush on fire, but he looked again, it's not consumed. But when he turned, notice God spoke.
Amen.
So a lot of people they're going to miss God speaking in the midst of that bush that seems to be on fire.
mm-hmm.
But is God there in the midst? God said, "I'm allowing the disturbance. I'm allowing this to
yeah.
get you to turn to me to hear what I have to say."
Amen.
And then I can present to you, if you watch and listen, the right God, the right, you can have an encounter with the true God, the real God. But see, a lot of people rather just deflect off of themselves mm-hmm. to absolve themselves from any guilt or any wrong. You see what I'm saying? Their
yes.
life is, they want to keep their life, save their life as they know it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's very good. And so it's sadly we have to go through that until we can see the truth of what God is trying to reveal. And it's a cycle for some, but some people get it
right
when they get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
Amen. So in Matthew 24, we're talking about watching, because he told the church in Sardis to watch. Now, in verse 42, this is where we're at. He says, watch. Keep going for me, Sister Cherry.
Verse 42.
Uh-huh. He just explained above about what's going to happen at the end time and how during the same way that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and took them all away, and then nobody knew because they weren't watching. Okay. So he goes down to 42 and explains.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come.
Keep going.
But know this, that if he, the good man of the house, had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up.
Okay.
Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Okay. So now notice he says watch. The word watch means give strict attention to, be cautious, be active. Take heed lest through remission and indolence is just sloth or an inclination to be lazy or idle. That's something. Now, all of this is talking about being idle. It starts spiritual, but it shows up physical. You know, we don't want, like, the person, we become idle in examining ourselves, and it's easier to point out the fault in others than to see what's in me and why I'm agitated by whatever. See, we can become slothful to respond to the Spirit of God. So he says, take heed, that's what the word watch means, give strict attention to, be cautious, always be, see, we should be active spiritually, not necessarily physically. Most of the church is physically active, but spiritually dead. See that? Most of the church is active externally, but spiritually we're inactive. We're asleep. We're sloth. We're lazy to respond to what the Spirit of God is trying to reveal in the earth. So he's saying, take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity will suddenly overtake one. See, in this world today, you and I have to be watchful. What I hear and see on TV or whatever, I don't just take it at face value. I'm watchful because you have to see and know what direction that the world system is trying to push everybody to. So we may see COVID-19 and the coronavirus, but behind that is something totally different, a whole nother agenda that's pushing everyone in a different direction. And you and I have to be active in the spirit to know and see what is happening so we can pray that God will move on our behalf and that his will be accomplished. Because the enemy is trying to push us into Satan or the Antichrist ruling the world system, a one world government. See this? This is what for the coronavirus to affect all nations locked down, all nations going on a certain laws and restrictions and mandates and all this. That's the spirit behind it that's trying to push us all in a direction where we're governed by a group of folks we don't know that's ran by the Antichrist, his spirit of Antichrist, put it that way. And we're like sheep headed towards the slaughter. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into the destructive calamity. Look what happened in the Holocaust. See this? Look what happened when Christ was talking to the Jews and they refused to hear him. And he said, Jerusalem, and he wept, Jerusalem, how I wish I could have gathered you as a chick gather her hens, but you would not. And he said, because you would not listen nor watch, destruction awaits you. What happened? I think it was 38 years later after he said that Rome came in and destroyed the Jews and the temple. See what I'm saying? Sudden calamity overtook them. So he says the word watch also means to keep awake, be vigilant, meaning carefully noticing problems or signs of danger. See? We have to be alert because there are laws being passed that on the surface appear like, oh, we're working for your good. We're trying to look out for you. But there are laws that are deceptively passed for a bigger agenda. He says, carefully notice, watch the signs of danger. So why do we watch? We're watchful because we want to avoid the danger. That's what Christ is saying. See this? And so let's go back. Let me get back over to the scripture here. Any questions about the word watch? So he says here, he says, watch therefore, and this is a warning to Israel to be prepared, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. So it says, present believers know that the second coming will take place during the battle of Armageddon, but unredeemed Israel, they won't know. And this all this that he was speaking in the scriptures above was referring to Israel, what was going to happen to them at the end time. In verse 43, he said, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, then he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. When you, if you know when a thief is going to come, what are you going to do?
Be ready for him.
Hey, there you go. And you're going to be vigilant. You're going to be watching, right?
Uh-huh.
This is what Christ is telling us. This is why we have to awake out of our sleep, because we need to be watchful. See that? If you're not awakened, you just living life and thinking everything is okay, it's good. But when God, when you start waking up to the Spirit, he's going to put you in a battle, and he's going to reveal to you the reality of what's going on. Remember, he wants us to be real, and he wants to show us the reality. Did y'all remember the Matrix?
Mm-hmm.
You take the red pill or the blue pill. And Christ is saying, if you take the Holy Spirit, if you let the Spirit transform your thinking, your heart, and your mind, guess what? You're going to see the reality of a world system that's working against you. Because what? The thief cometh not but for to do what?
Kill and steal.
And destroy, and right. Destroy. But he's not going to brandish it before us like, oh, I come to steal, I come to take, kill, and I'm going to destroy. No, Satan is the god of the world system, little g, and he blinds the mind. He uses deception. The only way you and I can see and know, see deception is if we are awakened by the Spirit and are watchful. See, the Holy Spirit is responsible for putting that alertness in us to watch and pray. And when the thief comes, I'll be prepared. See, most people, when the thief comes and when calamity comes and situations, they getting ready, trying to, oh, let me go into my prayer closet. Let me get ready to go and put on my army gear, my clothes, my warfare gear. See, no, when he comes, you're ready.
Right. Amen.
We have to be ready at all times. What does he say in 44? Read that for me, Sister Chair.
Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
So Christ is going to come the same way that a thief would come. See, you don't know when the thief going to come. We don't know, but he tells you, be ready.
Be ready.
Be ready, because you don't know when he will
Amen.
Come. So we cannot live this life just for ourselves and all caught up in what the world system desires. It's got to be what God desires, okay?
Yes.
So let's go down to chapter 25. We're still talking about watchful. And let's start at verse 1, chapter 25. He tells us to watch.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps.
Okay.
While the bridegroom...
Let's stop right there, Sister Cherry. So now, this other parable is used of the 10 virgins, right? So we're still talking about being watchful. So he said he likens the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins. And number 10, it speaks of perfection. Virgins represents those who belong to the Lord, right? They took their lamps. This is the light. Remember, Christ said that the church was the lampstand. So this is the church. This is the light of Christ. So they took the lamps. They're supposed to be representing Christ, the body. But notice what they did. It says all of them took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. It says, represents the light of Christ in all believers. Five of them, half were wise, half were foolish. This is Christianity today. Okay? What made them wise and what made them foolish? We're going to see this in a minute. They who were foolish, what did they do? Verse 3, Sister Cherry.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
So what did they do? They began to live outside of the domain of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember in the church of Sardis, Christ said he had the seven spirits of the Spirit. So that was the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. So the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit was not operative in the church at Sardis. That's what made them dead. So the foolish were dead in essence because they had lamps, they had a church building, but they did not have the oil of the Holy Spirit. So what did they do? They were operating on the energy and might of their own strength, their own spirit, and their own ability to have church. This is what the majority of Christianity today does. But notice what the wise did. Keep going, verse 4.
But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps.
So they had a constant flow. That's what it means. When they took oil, they took the flow. It was the flow of the Spirit within their hearts and their lives, which can only come about and be maintained by one's faith in Christ and the cross. So this is what it means to be wise. If you're always watchful, you're always looking at your true condition by examining yourself, comparing yourself to Christ, and your faith is in the cross, then Christ continues to pour the oil of his Spirit in your heart and life, and you will operate by or walk by the Spirit. That's your manner of living.
Amen.
See that? And so look what happens. While they're waiting, verse 5, keep going.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamp are gone out.
All right. Now notice here it says, while the bridegroom Christ is tarrying, okay? While we're here on earth, we may slumber and sleep. But it says at midnight there was a cry made. Remember we said the thief, Christ will come just like the thief. We don't know when, but we are to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm examining myself to make sure I'm in the faith and I'm looking at my real condition, the problem in the church, we don't want to see our real condition. We'll examine our neighbor's condition.
Mm-hmm.
Our brother, we'll tell you all about what their condition is, but we don't want to examine our true condition.
Amen.
So these virgins that took oil, the reason why their lamps was trimmed and the light grew was because they were increasing for his purpose and decreasing from their purposes. So at midnight, a cry was made, and behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. That was the rapture of the church. Then now remember, before it was a warning to Israel at the second coming. Now here's the warning to the church. He gave the same warning, watch, in Matthew 24 to Israel. He told them to watch because Christ was going to come and they wouldn't know it's second coming. Now he's talking to the church. He said there was a cry made, and then what happened in verse 7? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
But without the oil, the note says, the trimming was useless. It is religious activity without the Holy Spirit. So look what happened to the foolish. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
You want to go back to 8?
Verse 8, uh-huh.
Okay. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.
Now notice the foolish went to the wise instead of going where they should have went all along. So you can't get oil from another person. See this?
Amen.
The oil has to come through the person, the man, Christ Jesus, when faith is in the right in what he accomplished at Calvary. This is how the oil of the Spirit flows. This is how my lamp continued to be trimmed. So the foolish This is what made them foolish. They went to man trying to get oil. They had religious activity, the energy of religion, and they did not have the power of the Spirit at work. Many of us know religion. We know the doctrines. We know the preachers. We know all that stuff. But what about the energy of God's Spirit at work in our lives where we can deny ourselves, pick up the cross, follow, deny your intellect? You know, some of us want to get knowledge. We get a little knowledge, and it goes through our head, and we want to make ourselves grand and great, and I'm the great teacher of blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got, no, it's, hey, it, don't, that ain't, that shouldn't even be your focus. The Spirit will lead you to what you're called to do. Each of us have a purpose, and if we just walk with our faith in the cross, you will be led to that purpose. You won't be focused on who will listen, who won't, who follows. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos. Y'all see what I'm saying? Will God use me? You'll just walk in it.
Amen.
You see, you will just walk into where, and wherever He leads you and place you, you'll do it all to the glory of God. This is where we need to be. So when we're watchful and we seek God, it doesn't matter where He places us. So He says, what did the wise say? Keep going.
But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself.
Keep going.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that was ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Now notice some of the words that's used in Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. We read, he said, he told them, be ye what? Ready.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we just read that in the chapter 24. Now they want to buy from the wise. And the wise tell them to go buy for yourselves, and they go. See, they're trying to get prepared. Remember I said before, when stuff happens, if we're not watchful and we're not seeing the times, you can't be getting ready. You got to be ready.
Be ready.
See this? We can't be getting ready. Now we should see all the signs and everything that's happening and what God is revealing, and you will know what to do in the midst of all of this craziness. You're not getting ready. Because you applied the word of God, you are ready. Because you've been walking by faith and not by sight, you are ready. Because you've been trusting in Him through in every trial, every situation, every circumstance, you should be ready, not getting ready. So what happened with them? They were dead. They had the name. This is what the Church of Sardis was. It had the name, a label, that they were alive. But Christ judged and saw their true condition. They were dead. So these five foolish virgins were dead. They had only the energy of their own planning, scheming, their intellect, and whatever. See, everything that it was the energy of the flesh instead of the energy of the Holy Spirit. So what happened? As they were getting ready,
bridegroom
came. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready went in, see, with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That is a terrible thing. Can you imagine all those folks getting on the ark, and those folks watching Noah prepare the ark, and when the flood came, the door was shut.
Amen.
And there's nothing. See, they weren't ready. Now they want to try to get ready, and it was too late. This is the same today. We cannot be getting ready. We cannot be sitting around folding our arms and be asleep. We got to awake, thou that sleep. Arise. See, the Spirit is warning us because time is drawing near, closer and closer, and we don't want to get ready. We're all going to have to go one day, but when we go, let's be ready.
Amen.
Verse 11.
Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
It says, because they were religious, they thought they were saved. Millions presently are in the church, but they're not in Christ. There's a vast difference.
Amen.
Going to church and going through religious motions, and I don't care what religion it is we're trying to go through to get to God, it don't work. It will not work. You cannot be in church and in religion. You got to be in Christ.
Amen.
So here's the same warning he gives to the church in Sardis. Keep going.
Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
See that? We don't know. So he warns the church now, watch. And we said earlier that watch simply means that we are to be alert and give strict attention to be cautious and active spiritually. See, we should be active to the Spirit, not dead to the Spirit, not dead to what the Spirit has to say. See, we cannot be indifferent to the Spirit. That's why our imagination and high thing has to be cast down. All these religious doctrines and beliefs that we entertain, if you don't cast them down, that means you have a label, but you are sloth or indolent. You are inclined to be lazy or idle when it comes to responding to the Spirit. You are indifferent to the Spirit. That's what sleep means. Sleep means that your opinions and views are contrary to the views in the way of God the Holy Spirit. So it says in the note, the word sleep that we use in Ephesians 5, it says of carnal indifference to spiritual things on the part of believers, a condition of insensitivity to divine things involving conformity to the world. So we're more focused on conforming to the world, just like the five foolish. We're entertaining the things that are contrary to the way of God. We're indifferent. We're carnal. We're indifferent to the spiritual things. So the Spirit of God is saying, you're looking at a person and judging them based upon externals or the outward appearance. And the Spirit of God is trying to relay to you how to pray for an individual spiritually. You see what I'm saying? But we're so focused on the carnal, looking at it from a, so we're indifferent to the spiritual, the Spirit.
Right.
He's trying to relay to you some things. We may be upset and angry with people for whatever reason, but we're not looking at what the Spirit of God can see in a person, why they're responding or acting or things a certain way. So we fly off the handle because we're carnal. We act or respond a certain way towards or turn our nose up because of whatever. And see, the Spirit of God has no respect of persons. So this is why you and I can't be, we got to get out of those carnal, attributes we have that I like those folks over here, I don't like them, and this. God wants to send you to a world, and you can't have biases and have your own, I don't like this group, but I like that group. Well, I grew up in the black church, and I can't deal with the white church, or vice versa. Y'all see what I'm saying? So we all have those prejudices because we are all brought up in different cultural belief systems or whatever. And there was a time I couldn't get with a certain style of music or a certain style of preaching because that's what, we know. But see, God has to take us out of that. Sunday morning, I heard a very powerful preacher, and he was not of the same race, but he was powerful. And what I heard was the Spirit of God. See this? I heard the Spirit of God, and it didn't have to come from a person that looked like me. It didn't have to come from a church that acted like me. Y'all see what I mean? This is what God has to strip us from. And if we're caught up with color and race and all these things, all you're doing is you're becoming more and more indifferent to the things of God. You're becoming more conformed to the way of the world, in other words. And this is what causes us to fall asleep. This is what the word sleep means. See? You go into where you spiritually conform to the world instead of to Christ. This is what happened to the five foolish. They were left behind. This is why we are warned to awake and to watch. That's why the disciples fell asleep in the garden. Christ said, could you not watch and pray with me? Because they didn't understand a lot of things, and they had a reason for not bashing them. But this is because there was heavy demonic activity as well, okay? So it caused them to sleep heavily. It caused them to be lethargic. Y'all see what I'm saying? Any questions before we go back to Revelation 3, and I think we're going to verse 4. No, verse 3. In verse 2 it says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. It says they need to come back to the cross or they will lose their way completely. And then he says, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So their works were based on dead faith. You know, that was the problem with the five foolish virgins. Dead faith will always produce bad works. Verse 3, Sister Jerry.
Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Okay. Now, notice here, he says, remember how you have, let me get here. He said, I'm sorry, y'all bear with me. I am jumping around right here. So he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Okay, in Galatians 3, you don't have to go there, but I can read it, and you can write it down. Verse 1 said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Then he said, this only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? See this? So he's saying, how did you receive? Did you receive it based upon the hearing of faith, what Christ had done for you? Or was it by the works of the law? Then he says, are you so foolish? You began in the Spirit. Now you're going to try to perfect yourself by the efforts of the flesh? So this is what he's saying. Remember how you were saved. You came in not through the efforts of the flesh or the works of the flesh, but by the hearing of faith in Christ and him crucified. And the Spirit of God placed you in the body of Christ. So why would you resort to works? Works only cause you to go to sleep on the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So, and y'all can write these down. In Galatians 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What was the yoke of bondage? They were getting ready to resort to the works of the law, which was circumcision. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor. If you're going to circumcise yourself and say that you're right with God based upon the works of the law, now you become a debtor to do the whole law, meaning you can't err in one point or fail God in any points of the law, the Ten Commandments or whatever he demands or commands you. So if you resort to the works of the law, he says, Christ is going to become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Then he says, what happened? You are fallen from grace. So when we go back to Sardis, Sardis had fallen from grace. The church, Reformation Church, it started out right, but over time it went to dead works because they did not change their views and some of the other doctrines they refused to let go of. It is important that you let go of previous teachings. A lot of us trying to hold on to previous teachers and teachings that are not beneficial or in conjunction with the message of the cross. You have to let that stuff go.
Amen.
If not, then you're going to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is why we don't grow. This is why we get stuck, and then we go back to the same thing that we knew way back when. You have several things working against you, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You have previous teachings. You have the powers of darkness. And these things have to be removed so that the Spirit of God can untangle you. See, we, some of us, y'all remember how the song went, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up. We wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in a lot of, got this yoke of bondage of religion, of false teachings and teachers, and we don't want to let them go. And he says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you that think you're justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. The reason why we can't grow and overcome is because you're saved, but your position where grace can flow in your life and give you uninterrupted merit and favor and the grace of God to overcome problems and situations, you're falling from grace. He can't help you until you positionally get back with your faith in the cross and allow his grace to flow. Notice in Galatians 5, he also said that, for we through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Some of us don't want to wait on the Spirit. Some of us think we should be way over here and there and everywhere, and the Spirit of God saying, stay right here. Let me work this out for your good. We, through the channel or the act of the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness. How? By faith. See that?
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availed us anything nor uncircumcision, but it is faith which works by love. His love at Calvary. See that?
Mm-hmm.
His love operates flows in our lives when our faith is in what he's done at the cross. By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this is why let's go back to Sardis, and I'm apologizing for jumping around, but we got to get this point out, and then we'll move on. So he tells them, be watchful, remember how you have received and heard and hold fast and repent. See, you not only just remember how you received and you heard, hold fast to it. Don't let it go. Everything's going to come at you and I, around us, outside of us, to get us to run away from. Remember, he said, stand fast in the liberty. And then when you realize the error of your way, repent.
Yes.
Go back to the cross. When you and I fail, not if, when we fail, we realize that we left the cross, repent. Go back, leave them old ways alone, old teachings, old whatever, and repent and go the right way. Now, notice what happens again in verse 3. If, therefore, you shall not watch, hear that word again, watch. If therefore, you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief. Didn't we just read that earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And you shall not know what hour I will come upon you, meaning judgment will come. But Sardis will not see or hear due to spiritual deafness and spiritual blindness. There's all kind of stuff happening today that show us the spiritual temperature of what is about to come. A lot of people don't see it. A lot of things we just think is, oh, it's just this as usual. It's much worse. And if we're not watching and we're not growing and we have not received and heard, remember how we received and heard and hold fast and repent, it will come upon us as a thief, and we won't even know at what hour he comes or where the judgment will come. You see what I'm saying? There's two types of judgment. We're not talking about the judgment that's poured out at the end of the world, but there's judgment that comes when we refuse to repent. This is why he says judgment must first begin in the house of God. It's not the end time judgment. It's that God's fuma, his anger, his rage, his anger at the church for not allowing his Spirit to control it. This is why judgment happens. He's trying to warn the church to get the church corrected and back on the right path. And so this is why we have to awaken and let God deal with us the way he desires. And be real about our true condition. See, God can't deal where there is not realness. Realness is truth. Realness is the reality. And if we're not willing to face the truth and reality personally about us and our lives and then how things are in the world, God can't deal with you in that. He wants us to be real. This is why he said he hates it when we have that form. And this is what he's saying to the church in Sardis. They were dead, but they had a name that they lived. Mm-hmm. See that? See, he doesn't want us to have that, have the title Christian, have a form of godliness, but we deny his power from working in us. That's what bothers God the most. The reason why we're still stuck and not changed and going through the same cycle is because we don't want to arise and awaken to the Spirit of God who's saying, I can change you. It hurts when God has to stir up some stuff in our heart and get us to see the true condition of it. Sometimes it hurts. And then after you admit and you walk in obedience, it becomes easier. Mm-hmm. And so notice what he says in verse 4. Any questions before we go further? Verse 4.
Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
Now the note says the Lord always has a few. It's always a remnant. And he says that the word, and they shall walk with me in white, meaning righteousness. See? Only reason why we're worthy to walk with him in white or righteousness is because he is righteous.
Yes.
So it says we are made worthy only by our faith in Christ and the cross. So when he sees, when God sees faith in Christ and him crucified, he sees his son. See, that's what makes us worthy. There's nothing in us, in and of ourselves, that says we're worthy, that we are righteous. But because of what Christ has done, that's what God sees. Okay.
Amen.
So this is what he commends. There was a few, wasn't many, but a few that he commended. He said, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. So this means, it says, this refers to walking in the ways of the ungodly. When you soil your garments, you're walking in the way of the ungodly world, being squeezed into its mold. Says that happens to us when we fail to fully appreciate the great salvation Christ gained for us on the cross, or fail to realize the richness of life Christ is eager to give us if we will just take it. Now, notice verse 5. Let's keep going, Sister Cherry.
He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
So it says the righteousness of Christ, he who overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. The righteousness of Christ gained only by faith in Christ and the cross. That's how we get the white raiment. And you see in Revelation how they had white robes or raiment. He said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. This proves that names can be blotted out.
Amen.
But what does he say? I will confess his name before my Father. Why does he confess the name? Because they did not deny him here on earth. See this? When we deny him the right to rule over our lives, that's why he told them, when they came, the foolish five virgins came and they wanted to, they wanted to enter. He said, depart from me, I know you not. They did not confess him before men. Their life wasn't a life of dying to self so that Christ could increase in them. They were more about the fame, the popularity, the pat on the backs, men pleasers, wanting people to like me, wanting people to follow me. See, it wasn't about that. They denied themselves.
Yes.
They picked up the benefits of the cross, and they had to follow Christ daily, even if it meant going to places they did not want to go, doing what they did not want to do. So Christ said, because you did not deny me on earth, I will confess you before my Father and before his angels. See, eternal life is about living how we live right now. It determines how we live now will determine what our future spiritual life will be when he returns at the second coming. There will be nations to rule. Some of us will make it in, but because we refuse to know him now the way we should know him, in that future kingdom, we will not be reigning with him as far as ruling nations. Y'all see what I'm saying? So this is why how you live and what you do now will determine what you do then. You can make it in, but just remember, God will confess you before my Father and his angels. Verse 6, Sister Terry.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
So what the Spirit is saying to this church is that righteousness cannot be obtained without faith in a spotless sacrifice. See that? It says, I want to read this, what it said about the promise, too. Also, it says here that Christ exhorts the church at Sardis and other churches like it to wake up and revitalize the good things they do have going for them. If they don't, what they have will die. They'll lose what progress they have made. If believers fail to apply the truth they learned in the past, it will eventually be taken away. And we read that last week. They'll forget the principles of Christian living, and when they need to draw upon them, they won't be there. So this, you know, we read that last week. But the promise here, he says, to the overcomer who truly believes that Jesus is the Son of God and his personal Savior, is promised wonderful blessings in this life and the next. Now, he names up to three. First, the overcomer will walk with Christ in white, symbolizing the spotless and perfectly righteous character given to those who believe. Second, his name will remain in the book of life. This book contains the names of all the individuals ever born, if a person born again, let's put it that way. And third, Jesus will declare the overcomer's victory before the Father and his angels. So the Church of Sardis symbolized the Reformation era. During this period of history, the church was reformed but not revived. Some essential doctrines were reclaimed, such as the truth that people can be justified with God only by faith, but the changes did not shake loose the elaborate rituals and human traditions of the medieval church. So complacency and a new legalism set in, and only a few tasted the power of the Holy Spirit for Christian living. See that? That's the church in Sardis, and that church represented the time of the reform or the Reformation church. And I think my time is almost up. It should be up. I got 3 minutes. Any questions about the church in Sardis? Next week we'll do the church in Philadelphia, and then lastly we'll have the church of Laodicea. Now I know it has taken some time, but like we said before, I'd rather be thorough and we get a good understanding of what's going on than to just try to cut it short and not give you. And trust me, there's a lot more in here that we didn't scratch. If we really stayed on everything, it'd take us years.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the church in Sardis prophetically... The prophetic application was around AD 1517 to 1750. Next week we'll look at the Church of Philadelphia, and that after the Reformation Church was the missionary church. This is when the Lord opened the door to America, for America. This is why we have to keep this nation in prayer, because Satan knows what God, the covenant he made with our founding fathers to make this nation be established, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, they're tearing down statues, calling the founding fathers racist and all this and that. Don't fall for it, because God made a covenant at the beginning. He spied out the land of America because of what we're going to read next week with the Church of Philadelphia. It was for revival and evangelism. Now, every time God plant and sow good seeds, what does Satan do? While men slept, the Bible says he sows tares. Everything good that God does, Satan will come along to sow tares, okay? So Satan does not want God's will accomplished. Just like he used Israel. Israel was the only nation that knew Jehovah God. And when they dropped the ball, see, the enemy came in and sowed tares. God said, I will graft in my church to accomplish my, God's will always be accomplished. Who he uses is his own business, okay? How he uses them, that's up to God, but his will always be accomplished. Will he use me is up to me, whether I will submit to his way. So as we stated before, the missionary church was through the doors, God opened the doors through America to evangelize. We are the one nation that's been used to go to other nations all over to preach the gospel. And like I said, the enemy is going to try to portray God's plan, the people that God used to establish this nation, they're going to try to tarnish it because they don't want God's will to be accomplished. And so I do not believe that the doors of America will be shut yet because it's not time for the Antichrist to rule and reign. What's being pushed today is a one-world government. It's not time for it. So this is why you and I as the church, we are to hinder the evil or hinder the Antichrist from being revealed. He will not be revealed until the church has been raptured out. But he will make every attempt to push his agenda in the earth. This is why you and I must stand for godliness and godly principles and godly policies. Because if not, the enemy will try to reign before his time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so y'all still there? y'all didn't go to sleep on me. I better wait. All right. So my time is up. So next week we'll pick up where we left off dealing with the Church of Philadelphia. Those on the line, if you'll hold on, we'll take questions and comments. But for those of you listening, we pray that we've said some things that will help you in your walk. The profiles of these churches is very important because you will get to see not only the original church's stance, but then you'll see the prophetic profile of the churches through the age. And not only that, you'll see yourselves and your own and whatever churches that exist today will see a picture or an image of where we are in comparison to what the Word of God says. Amen. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.